WHAT? I want to welcome everybody to this week's episode of In the Rough with JB and Golfer Gal. I'm your host, JB, and alongside Golfer Gal, we have a very special show for you guys this week. Now, it is Masters Week, so, you know, we have a lot to talk about, but we're going to actually come back later on in the week with another show on the Masters preview and announce a little contest. But beforehand, we have a special guest that I wanted to, you know, have come on and talk about, because we always like to have the experts. And I know Golfer Gal is real excited about this one, because we always like getting down to the technical side of helping golfers everywhere.
Yeah, because it's always an education for me.
Well, this week we're fortunate enough to have Dave from Callaway Golf coming in to talk about the new golf balls that they have coming out this year. And I want to welcome Dave to the show. How are you?
Not too bad. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Now, before we get right into, you know, each golf ball and everything, why don't you tell our listeners the four new models that are coming out this year?
So coming out for Callaway, we have the Tour IS and Tour IZ, which were in the market in 2010, and they're actually coming out with kind of a revised, updated version this year in 2011. They're already in the stores. We have a Hex Diablo Tour golf ball and a Hex Diablo golf ball, and those are our lower-priced versions. Hex Diablo Tour is kind of a mid-price three-piece construction, and Hex Diablo is a lower-cost two-piece construction.
And we'll get into each one in a little bit, but beforehand, I do want to mention, you know, we got kind of a sneak preview through the grapevine here that you guys fared pretty well on the Golf Digest golf ball list.
Yeah, we're really happy about that. We just got some preliminary information out on that, and we received golds for all four of those models, as well as our Top Flight Gamer V2 model, which is a three-piece construction at a fairly low price point as well.
Yeah.
So we're really happy and excited about that.
The Gamer is a very popular ball for people, you know, looking to save some money here and there. I want to talk about each ball, and I think maybe we'll start and kind of go up with the Diablo versions. Tell us about the two-piece ball that you have coming out.
Yeah, so starting with the two-piece golf ball, we have Hex Diablo has been in the market. It was a previous version was Big Bertha Diablo, and that came out in 2009. This is an improved version of that, and what it is a very soft two-piece construction. It's going to appeal to the majority of golfers that are the higher handicaps or slower swing speed golfers, basically because of its really soft feel. Part of the performance of the golf ball is it spins very, very low off the driver, so you get a very nice, boring trajectory, and it goes a long way as a result.
So this would be a perfect ball for someone like myself. I'm a woman, so I have a slow swing speed, and I'm a very high handicap golfer.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. It's in especially the higher handicap golfers that tend to put too much spin on their driver and slice the ball, you know, out of bounds.
I do slice the ball far too much.
Come on, this is the internet. Nobody ever slices a ball on the internet.
Exactly, and everybody swings 110 mile per hour swing speed.
Of
right?
course, and we all outdrive the professionals, and yeah, we're all scratch golfers.
Yeah, this ball received a lot of popularity just because it is a very soft-feeling golf ball, and we've introduced quite a bit of new core technology into the ball that makes it still very fast off the driver, and I think the low spin and the speed, people can really see the distance in the ball.
Well, let's move on to the next grouping up in that Diablo Tour, and then I want to talk a little bit, before we get to the premium side of things, I want to talk a little bit about golf balls in general. With you, kind of break it up, because there are a couple of questions we always get, and I know you'll be able to answer it once and for all.
Okay, yeah, I hope to. Hex Diablo Tour, what we did with this model is we tried to combine some two predecessors, the Hex Hot Plus and the Hex Bite. And we, for a lot of the consumers, will know those as kind of the orange box and the green box. And those have been out for a couple of years, and the Hex Bite being a ball with more spin around the greens, and the Hex Hot Plus being faster off the tee and longer distance. And we just felt like it was time to consolidate those and really optimize those two products into one. And so we were able to achieve that with Hex Diablo Tour, where we get the green side control of Hex Bite, but also the distance of Hex Hot Plus. And it makes it simpler for the consumer to purchase it, and it turns out to be a very good performing golf ball, particularly at that price point.
I like it. The best of both worlds.
Yeah, that's always kind of nice, especially, you know, with so many choices out there right now, finding the right one is always hard.
Oh, sure. It gets confusing.
It certainly does. Now, you know, one of the things I wanted to ask you before we get to the premium balls that I know so many are excited about is, can you explain kind of, people think golf ball, they're like, okay, well, it's got this many layers, it's got this kind of cover material, this is what I'm looking for. But there's so much research and development that goes into creating a golf ball. Can you generalize that? It's a horrible question. I'm putting you on the spot. But explain that not all golf balls are created equally, I guess I should say.
Yeah, it's really interesting. You know, my immediate friends and family know this all too well, that, you know, golf balls aren't simple. They're very complicated, and they're very challenging to design, at least all the performance attributes into a single golf ball. So, you know, you're in a lot of sense, you're dealing with compromises, having to compromise spin around the green for distance off the tee. And I think all manufacturers are trying to design a golf ball that kind of incorporates all the performance into one ball. And so that's why you have multiple layers, and that's why you have dual core and various attributes like that.
Sounds like
But we've
talking
spent
about
quite a bit.
computers. I was just going to say, sometimes I feel like when people talk about golf balls, they're talking about a computer, which I also don't know anything about.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, it's not that complicated. But yeah, so we do quite a bit of material development work. And what I mean by that is, you know, the core is made primarily of rubber. And so part of that rubber, getting it to the proper compression and density requires different recipes. And so we try to optimize those characteristics in our golf ball cores. Our mantle materials and cover materials are very similar, and that we have to do a lot of material development to try to understand how the material best performs when hit with a club. And surprisingly, the impact forces put on a golf ball during that very short impact duration are fairly extreme, and they're very hard to test for. And so you have to do a lot of testing with actual, you know, robots and players testing, as opposed to kind of lab testing of materials.
When people hear and talk about golf balls, it seems like, you know, they say, okay, well, this has got, you know, the hard and this is soft. And I always find that in general, amateurs can get a little confused with what is hard and what is soft. And most of the time, and correct me if I'm wrong here, when dealing with the terms hard and soft, a manufacturer is discussing the interior, not the exterior of the ball. Would you agree?
Well, I think it's all relative, and I'm not. I think they mean both.
Okay.
So the out, you know, the cover material, for example, is on the outside. Some people say very, very soft cover material. When it comes to, you know, hitting the ball off a tee, the cover material plays less of a role than does the core. But around the greens, the cover material would play a greater role. So when it comes to softness of different layers and core and mantle and cover, it's really relative. Like, what is it they're comparing it to, so to speak.
So in terms of finding the right ball, and or I should say from the manufacturing standpoint, it really is kind of a give and take side of things of finding what works best with what with each, you know, type as they put it together.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where a lot of the what we call like optimization, or trying to design a ball for a specific player type, really comes into play. And that's why, you know, the importance of fitting, for the average golfer is actually very important, because, you know, what we found through our consumer testing and player testing is that a lot of people are playing the wrong ball for their swing type. And so if you go from a, like, for example, a person that puts quite a bit of spin on the ball, if they're playing a very soft urethane cover ball, and yet they're not savvy enough to really capitalize on that when they're around the greens, right? They're not getting the ball to check up on the green very well. They're just, you know, kind of your higher handicap player. They would see a huge benefit going to a ball like Diablo Tour or Diablo, because their driver spin, their overall spin off the tee is going to go way down. They're going to see their shots go straighter, and they're not going to feel like they're sacrificing anything around the green because they're not really putting a lot of spin on the ball around the green.
This is all so fascinating to me because when I'm picking a golf ball for myself, a lot of times my thought is, okay, well, I have a slow swing speed, so I probably need to get a two-piece ball. And if it comes in pink, all the better. And it's really not because I'm a girl. It's because I can't ever find my ball because it's generally somewhere in the woods, and I find pink a lot easier to find than white.
Well,
Yeah, exactly. This is what I deal with every day. People don't understand this. People don't understand.
Well, honestly,
they see this nice, innocent girl, and they think everything's normal. But this is what I deal with every day.
I'm just saying, as a general consumer, as somebody who, you know, obviously now I have more knowledge than I did when I first started, but I'm just saying that that was my thought process was, okay, I need a two-piece ball, and if it comes in pink, fantastic. I didn't really realize how much more went into it and how much, you know, benefit I could get from getting fit and learning about the golf ball rather than just picking a two-piece pink ball.
See, now,
yeah, absolutely. And I think just one key thing to point out is that leap you made where you said, well, I'm a woman, I have a slower swing speed, therefore I need to play a two-piece ball. I think that's a little bit of a wrong assumption. I think you can play a softer ball that's a multi-layer construction and see some benefit of that ball. For example, you know, the Hex Diablo Tour, as compared to Hex Diablo, you're going to get faster ball speed, even though you have a slower swing speed, and ball speed equates to distance. So if you can achieve that ball speed without increasing the spin, then your game should improve. You'll get a longer ball without, you know, more slice.
See, this is the kind of information that I wish I knew when I was first starting out golf.
Well, see, now you have it. Now
I know.
We actually have a launch monitor. You can test these things out.
I know.
You should listen to the commercials, Golfer Gal. You know, Callaway's commercials said good ball when they hit it.
Yes.
You should know that they're a good ball.
I do.
Switching gears.
Do you guys like the marital spat in the middle of the show? It's good, right?
That was nice. Yeah.
The switching gears.
I'm sure it never happens on the golf course either.
Absolutely
not.
We've
learned that lesson.
You have two premium balls in the market that are extremely well-liked, winning on tour, and again, received gold medals in the hot list. Tell us, you know, first up, the Tour IS is one that people are so intrigued with this year. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so the Tour IS is probably the most highly technological and developed golf ball we've ever produced. One of the difficulties with a golf ball design is getting a ball that's long that feels good, and a ball that feels good that also spins around the green, because a lot of times those aren't synonymous. So what we've done with the Tour IS is we have a dual core construction, which both of our premium golf balls have, which we feel helps that compromise I was talking about, where you want low spin off the tee but high spin around the green. The Tour IS, the S kind of standing for soft and spin, it has a soft feel, which people really like. It's the softest tour ball that Callaway's ever produced. I think when we originally came out with our first tour ball, Hex Tour back in, I want to say 2003, it was a little bit firmer compression, and I think that turned some golfers off because they've been used to playing very soft constructions. So we've known that. We've been developing softer and softer constructions, and IS really, really capitalizes on that. So it's a construction that doesn't sacrifice on distance, but really maximizes spin around the green.
I have a question. From start to finish, how long does it take to think of the creation of the ball to actually getting it to the market? Like, you know, is it a 6-month process, a 1 year, 2 year, 3 year? How long does that take? Because it seems like there's so much that goes into it that I'm curious as to the actual time frame for it.
Yeah, there's quite a bit, and I can't give you an exact timeline, but mm-hmm. In general, we kind of do our material and kind of longer term technology development on one path, and then as we develop our technology to a certain maturity, we can take that and then put it more like on a commercialization path.
Okay.
So that, you know, with Tour IS, for example, what we try to do is maximize the compression differential between the inner core and the outer core. So our inner core is extremely soft, and our outer core is extremely firm. Not extremely firm, but it's firmer. And we feel that gives us the best of what we call spin separation, the low spin off the tee and high spin around the greens. So we've been developing that soft core technology for the inner core for quite some time, and as we've made strides in our manufacturing process and in our material process, we've actually been able to take that technology and develop it into a product that still is very, you know, durable, very high performance. If that answers your question, I hope.
Yeah. No, it does.
So I would say in general, you know, 6 months to 18 months, balls could be in development.
Wow.
Now there's a second ball at the tour level that is also being talked about quite a bit. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, the Tour IZ is the kind of the complement to the Tour IS. It's a little bit firmer construction, and what that equates to is a little bit more ball speed. So both the IS and the IZ have very low driver spin, which is which we like and tour players like because it's a very low boring trajectory, and our aerodynamics are optimized for that type of driver spin. And it has very good greenside control as well. As we've been developing the 2001 versions of these balls, like I mentioned before, these came out in 2010. They were very well received. But our goal for 2011 was to try to optimize them. We had some new technology that we'd been developing that we wanted to incorporate into these balls rather than hold on to it another year and put it into our next year's product. And so we decided to make small changes to these. And for both these products, Ernie Els was the primary player of Tour IS on our staff, or one of the guys that were selling Tour IS, that we gathered quite a bit of feedback from. And Phil was our IZ player, which we gathered quite a bit of feedback from. And so we tried to incorporate their comments and their preferences into these new products. And we feel like we were able to do that. Phil, for example, wanted the 2011 version by IZ just to be a little bit lower spin off the driver and have a little bit softer feel than the 2010 version. And so we made that slight tweak and ended up being kind of a running change to our production process.
Go ahead.
Oh, and just to follow up with the IS, Ernie loved the feel and performance of it. He just wanted a little bit lower driver spin, and so we incorporated that into the tweak to the design.
I love that you get the input from the pros. I mean, you can't get a better test subject than that.
Absolutely. Yeah, we really appreciate their time. A lot of times it's hard to find time to test with them, and it's amazing how discerning they are in golf ball characteristics. Because a lot of times we do testing without any logo or anything on the ball. It's just blank white balls, and we throw two balls down and say, tell us what you think. And I would say 9 times out of 10, they're telling us exactly what we already kind of know based on our internal robot testing and lab testing.
That's funny you said that. For some reason, you know, nobody who's a recreational basketball player is going to go out and say, going to compare himself to LeBron James or think they can serve like Andy Roddick, yet every amateur golfer in the world feels as though they're playing the same game, and I'm doing finger quotes on the radio, as these tour pros, and it's just a different level of ball striking. But you can use the same equipment, and these guys are using these golf balls and putting them into play and playing well with them. What do you suggest amateurs do when looking at it? You know, let's say that I'll use me as a test subject, which is always intriguing. You know, I have a driver swing speed of 103, 105. I play a lot of spin around the green, but I like a low spinning driver ball. Can I play either one of those premium balls?
Yeah, I feel like you can. You know, our approach to kind of ball selection, and this shows up on our website. If you go to CallawayGolf.com and look at the ball fitting guide, is we like people to start with what feel do you like of a golf ball, first of all. You're going to be hitting the ball 60, 70, maybe 120 times around. You know,
I liked your first thing better, 60 or 70. I might quit after 16 holes.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. Executive courses. So you want a ball that feels good, that you like the feel of. And then we tend to fit people starting at the green and working back. So if you're a type of person that puts a lot of emphasis on getting the ball to check up, you know, or with a full wedge shot, being able to suck it back on the green, you want a ball that's going to spin a little bit more, and that's like our Tour IS. Now, if you don't care if the ball spins and you're used to playing a ball that it hits the green or runs to the back of the green, then it's more of a focus on the feel at that point or price point. So you might not need a ball with a urethane cover if you don't care if the ball checks up or not. And so then as you go back to the tee, you're going to want to pick a ball that has probably the highest ball speed for you. And so that's where you know, IZ, for example, is a little bit firmer than IS. It spins a little bit less around the green. And yet, if you don't really care about the feel, you will get higher ball speed and a little bit more distance.
Well, I do like ball speed because I am short of distance, as you can tell by my numbers. And I do put plenty of spin around the green, so maybe the IZ is the ball for me.
Yeah, I think that would be an excellent choice if you're not if you're definitely not looking for a ball that's super soft, but you want a ball that checks up nice and has a very low trajectory. And that's what I would say 50% of our staff is playing right now.
Well, and I'm sure that the listeners are sick and tired of hearing me get ball fit on the radio. so my next question to you is, we saw the groove rule change things in golf, and everybody said, well, golf balls are going to become spinnier. How does a golf ball manufacturer, and Callaway specifically, how do they combat the fact that amateurs want to hear those buzzwords like more spin, even though we know that most struggle putting that correct spin on the ball, while at the same time the balloon aspect of it off the tee, and we certainly don't want to lose distance. I mean, that's everything that goes. Or is it that the equipment, like Callaway with the Razor Hawk and the Diablo Octane, that they've gotten better at producing higher ball speeds combined with the ball? Or how does it? How do you work together to create that harmony, I guess is the right word?
Yeah, that's a great question. We do work with the club side on some of our development. But for the most part, it's independent. You know, they're trying to get balls that they're trying to design clubs that get a ball to perform a certain way off the club face. For ourselves, I can speak towards golf ball. In 2010, when the USGA groove rule came out, we had designed IS-9Z in anticipation of that. And so we actually, you know, when I talked about the compromise of the driver spin versus greenside control, we actually designed the balls to have a little bit more greenside control. As a result, had a little bit higher driver spin. And by little, I mean 100 RPM, not...
Okay, so a real small RPM. Amount.
Yeah, a very small amount, but noticeable by Phil and by Ernie and by some of our tour players. And so when the groove rule came out, it didn't have quite the impact that the talk leading up to it would indicate. Mm-hmm. And particularly the Callaway wedge designers did an incredible job meeting the USGA groove rule criteria without sacrificing very much spin. And so... when the balls actually got in play, particularly our tour players weren't noticing any spin drop. And that's where they came back and said, wow, can you make the same feeling golf ball with just a little bit lower driver spin so my trajectory can be a little lower? And that's what prompted our kind of design tweaks to the 2011 version of Tour IS and IZ.
Okay, that makes perfect sense.
That does make perfect sense.
So when choosing a golf ball, Callaway's philosophy is start at the green and work backwards. Mm-hmm. When people are on the tee box teeing off and they hear the word balloon and too much spin, I want to emphasize to our listeners that may not understand what we mean by that. That does not mean slicing it off the planet or that it's a big, huge hook or slice. We're talking about backspin in general. And the level of height that it's going to go, or it plays a role in the level of height that it's going to go, and that too much spin can lead to a severe distance loss.
Yeah, exactly. And it's one thing to note, you know, the ideal launch conditions for a golfer, you know, I'm sure everybody's heard you're supposed to kind of hit up on the ball. And the reason for that is you want a high launch angle, but low spin. And some people... It's hard to tell what that is on the balls, you know, flying in the air. If the high launch is being caused by the spin, you know, if the ball's ballooning, like you mentioned, or if it's truly just a high launch angle where the ball has kind of the optimum spin.
That's what those handy dandy computers are for.
Exactly. And I would just say if somebody feels like they're on, you know, hitting their driver and they're having too much spin, the quick and easy change is to look at your golf ball and see, okay, am I playing a golf ball that has the ultimate greenside control, or am I playing the ball in the package that says low spin off the tee? You know, every one of our golf balls should have some indicator on the package that shows this ball's lower spinning. And I would say buy a new sleeve of balls or buy a dozen balls and try a new ball and see if that helps correct some of that ballooning. The more expensive route, which we also encourage, is to try a new driver and, you know, get a driver that's either fitted more appropriately for your swing or has a lower CG or, you know, various other changes.
Well, and Callaway put out two very good ones this year that if people did not hear, we had a show on last month on both the Razor Hawk and the Octane that was thoroughly entertaining and highly educational and enjoyable, other than another spat by Golfer Gal and I during the middle of the show. I want to thank you for coming on and helping educate our listeners. You know, I think a lot of times when people look at golf balls, they want to play the ball that the pros play. And unfortunately, that doesn't always mean that the perfect fit for them. I don't think there's anything wrong with that or, you know, trying to imitate Phil and Ernie and other guys. But at the same time, make sure you're playing the right golf ball. And Callaway has four solid golf balls in the 2011 lineup. You can check them out on their website. And, you know, like Dave said, there's a fitting application there that you can go in and talk a little bit about your game, and it'll spit out the right ball for you. So I want to thank Dave for coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's once again been an education for me, and I appreciate that.
Well, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
And we definitely have to do this again as new things continue to come out, you know, as we move towards 2012 or even a refreshing course throughout 2011. And for myself and Golfer Gal and Dave from Callaway, we want you to go out and enjoy golf. It's Masters Week, and we will be watching it in 3D this year, I might add.
Yes, we will.
And go out and enjoy golf. Weather's getting good around the country, and we hope everybody can come back and give us some feedback on the new Callaway golf balls. Goodbye, everybody.